We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chris, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We have got a full boat show. And on top of that, we've got a lot of great guests coming in to do the show tonight. So I want to share that with you, let you know that we're going to have a lot of fun on tonight's show. I'm going to spend some time talking about the Cubs. I'll get to them momentarily. But I want to let you know who's coming up on the show tonight. 9 o'clock, Chris Ronji, our friend, will be on the show. We're going to talk Cubs and Cardinals with him. We'll talk Dexter Fowler with him. I'm excited to, I just like Ronji, so I'm excited to have him on the show, number one. But I'm really excited to have him talk about this situation with Dexter Fowler and how it was handled versus how it would probably be handled by the Cubs. And I'll talk momentarily and throughout the night about that and get some opinions from a bunch of different areas on that. Also on the show, Michael Beller of Sports Illustrated, who I try, like, every 2 months or so, I'll check in with Beller. He's the fantasy writer there at SI, but he also is a great numbers guy for baseball overall, a lifelong Cub fan, so I love to pick his brain about what's going on with the Cubs. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Around 7:30, we're going to talk with Kelly Krull of NBC Sports Chicago. She's getting ready to host Chicago Sports Talk Live, and then she's going to make her way over here, and we'll hang out for a bit. And that's after we talk with Adam Amin of ESPN. Herbie, he made it back from the hot dog thing?
I mean, I guess so. He's all good to go.
All right, well, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to him because he's going to be doing the preseason Bears stuff this year. So he's a really good play-by-play man. So I'm excited to talk to him about the Bears and his craft and all sorts of other things. I think there's going to be a really fun show from a guest perspective. The crew, Herbie is in charge of the show, Chris is in charge of the sound, and it's just the three of us here at the radio station. That's just what happens at night. That's how we roll. So let's talk about these Cubs, these rampaging Chicago Cubs. They have the win yesterday. They've won six in a row. This is a season high. They have an opportunity now to have the day off before they start a series against the Cincinnati Reds, who they will be looking for some payback from. Tomorrow we will have the games here. It's a strange homestand. Aren't all of the games day games for them on this homestand? Which is great for us because it's allowed us to do a lot more shows than we ordinarily would. And it'll be great for us because basically leading into the All-Star break, we'll have some longer shows. And All-Star break, you know, on this show is LoHo Guest Week. So we got some great guests lined up for you for Guest Week as well. If you're watching the Cubs right now, they are a lot of fun. If I could, I'd like to take you back to maybe 3 weeks ago where you have a lot of Cubs fans who were concerned about how things are going, concerned about lineups changing, concerned about why this team was struggling to play to its potential. And now, 3 weeks later, you have a Cubs team that I don't think is necessarily even playing to their potential yet, but is playing well enough to beat bums, to outlast bums, and continue to keep tethered to the Milwaukee Brewers.
I have to give them credit. I got to give the Brewers credit. I like what they have done over the last couple of years, save them not getting enough starting pitching. That's the only thing that I think that they haven't done up to expectation, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the trade deadline. Is this the year that the Brewers make a gigantic move at the trade deadline? And I think that the chances of that are good because their team is good enough to win this division. The Cubs are good enough to win this division too, and I expect them to win the division. What's amazing to me, watching this team right now, watching this Cubs team right now, is over the last week, we've seen them play really good offensive baseball without the best player on their team and perhaps the best player in the National League in Chris Bryant. They've been able to put up these runs. What's really scary about them, I was thinking about this afternoon. I was trying to decide the type of things that I wanted to do on the show. What's crazy about them is their organizational depth. Now, at this point, their organizational depth is really at the major league level. That we're not talking about them dipping down to go get someone else. The guys are all here for the most part. And they have figured out how they have so much talent on their team that they can absorb a lot. If I told you that the big name free agent and the MVP were going to be down for stretches, you would then go, well, they still got Anthony Rizzo. And then I would say, well, Anthony Rizzo hasn't played up to Anthony Rizzo's potential either. And there they are, a game out of first place. What are they, 14 games above 500 now? And now we're into the second half of the season. And look at what they got. It is remarkable how many of their prospects have been this good. And you have to give Hendry credit for what? Baez and Contreras, weren't they his? But the fact that this organization has brought guys up and guys haven't been, for the most part, failed by injury or lack of production is remarkable. I was thinking about other teams and like other great prospects that teams have. And you know how many times, Herbie, you brought it up last week. It was Byron Buxton, right? Oh, Byron Buxton, number one player in MLB. And he comes up, he goes down, he gets hurt. He hasn't lived up to expectations. You look around the diamond for the Cubs. Look around it. And guys are producing. Some maybe still not to the level that people expect, but still getting it done. Like, I expected and do expect Schwarber to hit for better average, but it doesn't matter because he's slugging the crap out of the ball this year. Baez is playing at an MVP level. And here's the crazy part. Now Addison Russell, for the last month or so, has shown you his offensive game. Ben Zobrist, not that he's a prospect, but Ben Zobrist is turned back the clock. If Wilson Contreras starts to hit, this Cubs team might be unstoppable. But they're doing all of this without Chris Bryant for the last couple of weeks. And before that, he wasn't playing to the level that we've seen Chris Bryant play, although I always put an asterisk on that and say, for anyone else, it would be an all-star caliber season. It's amazing. And I like it. I like that there's some real heat in the National League Central. between the Cubs and the Brewers. We've talked about that rivalry between the two teams before, and we both like it. You like it, I like it. And the Brewers aren't giving an inch, at least to this point. They're not giving an inch. You would think that this six-game streak that the Cubs would be on would be good enough to really overtake the Brewers, and it has not been. And now the Brewers are in a position to become players at the trade deadline. And now I wonder what are the Cubs going to do? Do the Cubs need to do anything? I don't know. But I will tell you that it's fun. Like, watching them is fun. The players that they have are not just good, but dynamic. Javier Baez is dynamic. Wilson Contreras is dynamic. And watching those guys do what they do on an everyday basis, Albert Almora deserves to go to the All-Star game. It's as simple as that. Think about how many times that we've been talking about Almora like not being in the lineup. Like, as a Cubs community, we've talked about, man, why isn't Baez playing? And we get the, oh, well, you know, he's not great against right-handers. Well, this year, it looks like his plate appearances will be around 500. Probably more than that. He's giving you gold glove level right field. And yet again, another prospect that has come up here and done the job. Have any of them been back to the minors other than Schwarber? Like, they got here and none of them have really left. That's insane. What they have done from an organizational standpoint, we're going to look back on it on 20 years and go, what did they see? 312-644-6767 if you'd like to get into the conversation. We'll start in Wheaton and AJ. Hey, AJ, you're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate you taking the call. I'll be really quick here, but just wondered, we, you know, Cubs fans, like we mentioned, have been pretty frustrated all throughout the season and especially a few weeks ago, dying down a little bit now. But I wonder if we would be as harsh on the Cubs if the Brewers weren't performing the way they were. So let's say the Brewers were tied for second place and we were 6.5 games above them, just like the Cardinals. Would people be as hard on the Cubs? And I'll hang up and let you answer that.
That's an interesting question. I think that expectation levels are higher for the Cubs, and I think that that's good. I think that that's a maturation of the fan base as a whole, that you hold them to a higher standard. I think that sometimes it borders on mania, not Hulkamania, brother, but it borders on mania sometimes. And I think that we get a little out of control with not understanding that this is a long season that has these moments of doubt, that has these moments of up and down, and that there's a long way to go. That things can be turned around rather quickly in a Major League Baseball season by just, you know, guys having a good week. And so when they have a bad week, we shouldn't kind of go off the deep end and say that there needs to be, you know, drastic shifts, drastic changes in the way they approach the game and the way that Madden manages the game. We need to be more understanding of how this works. Even now, the Cubs are at, what, 84 games in a season. So there's still like just a little bit than half of a season left to go. And there'll be another thing. There'll be a stretch of games where they don't play well, or, you know, God forbid they get swept again by Cincinnati, but there'll be another stretch of games where They won't look the way we expect them to look. But it's really impressive. And we should give the organization credit, and we should definitely give these guys credit. That your major free agent acquisition has really, your two major free agent acquisitions have really given you nothing. Darvish and Chatwood. They haven't played up to their potential, what the Cubs thought. And Darvish is hurt. And there's some news on that today. Your MVP hasn't been himself or has been hurt. Your backup MVP hasn't quite been himself or has been hurt. And you're one game out and 14 games above. That's impressive. Out to Detroit and Alex. Hey, Alex, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I just want to talk about the Cubs and Brewers a little bit. I think it's interesting that last year the Brewers were about a year or two ahead of the rebuild, and we weren't sure if they're serious. This offseason, they add Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich in trade, and really try to shore up their team a little bit. Now they're a serious competitor to the Cubs. And the Cubs, despite all these issues like you've just referenced, are still in the ball game, and they still have a chance to win this division. And I just think it's really impressive that the bullpen has got together specifically and that the rotation has been able to make it work without Chatwood and Darvish especially.
I appreciate the phone call, Alex. Thanks for checking in. The bullpen at the beginning of the season, I thought, held this team together. John Lester has been doing his part to hold this team together throughout the entire season, and now the hitters are taking their turn, saying, okay, we got it from here. Or at least we got this stretch, even without Chris Bryant. I'm interested to see what the Cubs think they need. And maybe they need nothing, but I'm interested to see if that's the choice that they make or if they feel like we need to go and add a little bit of something to if we are going to solidify our place in this division and keep ourselves out of playing in a wild card game. I'm impressed by what they've done the last week, and I get that they're beating bums. I get that. But you got to beat the bums too. And when the series was in Cincinnati and they were losing games, you were frying up my phone lines.
But also, that's not true that they're beating bums as, you know, only the team they're beating. They're 25-22 against teams over 500. Milwaukee's 22-22.
But I'm saying recently, like this recent stretch is the Twins and the Tigers. The Tigers have been in a spiral for almost a month now, and the Twins are no damn good.
Brewers have played 29-13 versus bums. Five more games than the Cubs have played.
Yeah, you have to beat bums. Most of your schedule is going to be bums. So you have to beat them. And you should take a lot of pride in beating them. Beat them up. You want to jump into the conversation? 312-644-6767 is the way that you can do it. And I'll tell you this, Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. More of your thoughts, and I would like to turn the signal towards the south in the National League Central before this 6 o'clock hour is done. I'll explain what I mean next here on The Score.
Matty with a big lead now at first base. Let's see if the Cubs try to pull off the double steal.
And now Baez is going to try to score the throw to the plate, and he is safe. He is safe. He did exactly what you said, Ron. As soon as the pickoff throw went to first, Baez came flying down the line at third. The throw by Hicks to the catcher McCann was late, and this ball game is tied at two.
Highlights courtesy of The Score. Pat Hughes on the call. How's that not on your scouting report? I mean, at this point, aren't we calling that the Javi? If Javi's on third and there's a runner on first, he's probably going to try to steal home. I'm amazed at the the body control that Baez has. I wonder if he does yoga. Because some of this stuff, one of the things I enjoy about him is he's making me rethink the way baseball is and can be played. It can be so athletic. And we don't think of it in the same way that we think of basketball, football, or hockey as far as athleticism, because there's a portion of the game that's anaerobic. You run and you stop. You run and you stop. You run and you stop. Trying to make your way around the diamond. I remember having a conversation with Andrew McCutchen a few years ago. They were playing the White Sox, and I got to spend like 10 minutes talking with him about the game. And he said that he wants to let people understand, young kids that look up to him and think, well, you know, I can be what Andrew McCutchen is. He wants to play the game with a level of athleticism that we haven't seen in a while, that he wants kids that are debating what sport they play to look at their athletic gifts and go, oh, absolutely, I could play baseball. I can use this great athleticism and play baseball instead of playing basketball or playing football. Mike Trout's one of those guys. Mike Trout would be somebody something in another sport. He'd be somebody's linebacker or somebody's safety or somebody's running back in another sport. But when you see with him the strength plus the athleticism, the fact that he is out there hitting taters and also tracking down balls in center field or going first to third on singles to center, which is a lot of fun to watch him do that. Baez, it's like the damn Matrix, man. I wonder what the impact of this is. How will this change the way that we slide? I was watching some highlights from like the 80s and 90s. And you know, you think about a stolen base, guys. Guys were making their line to the base and they were sliding. And if the ball beat them there, for the most part, guys were like, I guess I'm out. And they'd slide into a mitt. Rizzo has done this before. Baez does it a lot. Guys aren't giving up now. Guys are like, you know what? You still have to tag me. And if I swim move you, you might not be able to tag me. And that's what we saw yesterday. Baez should have been out. The ball's there. The tag is where it should be. Like, this is where this guy is going to try and slide. So I'm going to put the mitt here. But with him, you almost can't do that. You have to almost see the tag to his body. You can't expect that you're going to put the tag down and he's going to be there. Meanwhile, when Javi is on defense, he knows exactly where you're going to slide and when the ball's getting there. We haven't seen the crazy Javi slap tag so far this year as much as we've seen the Matrix stuff on the bases, but it is amazing. It's fun to watch. Here's the latest on what's going on with Yu Darvish. It looks now, expect him not to be available until we get into late July. And I will say that yesterday when I heard, oh, the Cubs DFA Chris Giménez, it's like, oh, well, that means Darvish isn't coming back for a while because that's his guy. This from Gonzo. Yesterday marked the fifth day of Yu Darvish's recovery from a cortisone shot, but the Cubs remain unsure when their embattled pitcher will resume throwing. Quote, it's a patient process right now, and I'm going to be very patient. That's from Joe Madden. Madden went on to say, just the communicative thing, how you feeling as far as him interacting with Darvish. Tell me what you're thinking right now, which he did. Then it's a matter of everyone getting on the same page and moving it forward. So don't expect Yu Darvish to be back anytime soon. And that's what I've been trying to tell you. And even when he comes back, I'm not sure what's fair to expect. This might just be a lost season for a guy that the Cubs spent a lot of money on. And it stinks, but it's probably what it is. Northwest Side, Maddox Boy. Hello, Maddox Boy.
Hey, Lawrence. Long time, no talk. Something you brought up with Javi sliding into the plate that occurs to me. Before the Buster Posey rule, I think that if sliding into the plate hand first was a recipe for breaking your hand.
Yep.
Now the catcher's got to give you part of the plate. And so sliding in head first makes way more sense now.
Well, I mean, if you're stealing home, though, the guys would try that too. I mean, I know Robinson, like now we're going way in the way back machine. Robinson would slide feet first when he would steal home. But I think that you want to give yourself as many opportunities to get to home plate as you can. But you're right. If a catcher can drop down his shin guard in front of the plate while you're sliding in head first, we're not just talking about breaking your hand. We're also talking about a concussion. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Baez is manipulating that rule because he's that smart of a player. But I'm not sure how, if you're Detroit, how that's not on your scouting report. Hey, you know when Baez is on third, if there's another runner on first, I mean, Sex says, be careful what you praise or ask for. Players slide first, head first, way too much. For example, first base. Yeah, we're not talking about that. I don't like sliding into first base head first at all. To me, the only situation where that's necessary is if there's an awkward throw and you're trying to avoid a tag. It slows you down going to first base. And they don't have to tag you at first base. They can tag the base. At home, they have to tag you. So, if you're doing a swim move, it could be beneficial. I told you that we were going to turn the antenna south a little bit. And we are. I would like to spend some time talking about the Cardinals. We do this occasionally with Milwaukee. Obviously, Milwaukee is a little bit closer. But this signal is a 50,000-watt blowtorch. And beyond that, I know that there are plenty of Cardinal fans that live in this within the sound of my voice. The Dexter Fowler thing is of interest to me. One, because I like Fowler. And I thought him signing down in St. Louis wasn't the best idea. But secondly, because I'm curious about how Cardinals fans feel about their organization. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about them. That's right. I'm going to turn the airwaves over to Cardinal fans if you want. If not, I can just keep talking about them, which is fine with me also. Here's what I'd like to know. You're a franchise that's rooted in tradition. I get that. You're probably the most successful National League franchise. And as a fan base, you trade off of that. Like, that's your calling card as Cardinals fans. You know, we've got the 11 World Series championships and birds on the bats, and we've run this division and blah, 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 blah. You've done all of that. What I'd love to know from you is, what do you think your place is now in the division and in baseball? What do you think your place is? Because I will tell you that I think your place in the game is diminishing. And I think the things that people hold up as the way the Cardinals do things, the Cardinal way, I think that might be standing in your way. There were a couple things that Sahadev Sharma wrote today about the Dexter Fowler situation that I wanted to share with you. But also, I do want to talk with you. So if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Cardinals fan within the sound of my voice and you have some thoughts on your organization, I would like to chat. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm going to take a timeout. We'll take your phone calls, and you can text us if you want to. 670-11 is the way you can do that. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
We've turned our signal south.
I had Chris turn the antenna just so slightly so that we could bring Cardinals fans into our discussion about the Cardinals and the Cardinal way and Dexter Fowler and their handling of things. Sahadev Sharma was writing today about Dexter Fowler and his struggles down in St. Louis and his GM getting into his kitchen about it. And I had forgotten that Giancarlo Stanton was like, I don't want to go there. Don't trade me there. I won't go play there. And that Jason Hayward turned down more money in St. Louis than what he made with the Cubs, which is a whole lot of money. The texter was like, I'm not familiar with what's going on with this story. Well, you're in luck. Before I get to your phone calls and text messages, I can share with you. I talked with Bruce Levine, our MLB insider. Bruce was on the show, and we had a discussion about what was going on with Fowler. And I started it off by having him explain what the problem was.
Well, I can't tell you what they're saying in the clubhouse. I can only tell you what Mozeliak said, the president and GM. We know that. It's on the record. He said it on a Fox TV show that he does every week in St. Louis that people like Dexter are going to have to look in the mirror about their effort, and that he should take some time off here for the next few days and you know, figure out where he's at, and he's going to sit down and talk to him about where he's at. Dexter's been a huge disappointment there, and it just didn't start now. If you remember last year, he went there to be their leadoff man, and he wasn't successful in doing that. On top of that, the Cardinal offense failed miserably to the point where they had no power in the lineup. And eventually, with Dexter not getting on base like he normally did, they dropped him down in the order to get more of a power bat, a doubles and home run bat out of him. He had a, you know, a very average to below average year. And, he doesn't run anymore. So he doesn't run anymore. The on-base percentage, kind of fluctuated. Now he can't hit. This is tough times for him. He's in the second year of a five-year, $82.5 million deal. And I think, I wrote a story on 670thescore.com that you can go and look at. And the reason he was successful here, other than his obvious talents, was that Joe Maddon and Davey Martinez every single day, Lawrence said, you go, we go. In other words, how you play, we're going to play. You start it all at your first at bat, and everybody takes off from there. So he was the energizer here. He was a synergistic force for the Chicago Cubs. But the handling that he has in St. Louis is nothing close to the handling that he had with the Cubs, where he was loved and handled perfectly. Look at Dexter's career. When you have time, Lawrence, look at his career and see how many games he has not played, okay? It's been a career where he's averaged somewhere around 120 games a season. So there's been lots of times on the DL for Dexter. I think he played 153 games in 2016, going toward his free agent year. 2015,
156 56 games. Before that, his high was 143 in Colorado.
Yeah, and before that, they were all 120s, 130s. Nothing higher than that. So from, you know, the average games played for Dexter is about 120 games in his career. I think he played 105 last year, right, Lawrence? Somewhere around there?
Last season was 118 for Dexter.
118. So, you know, look at the volume of games that he's missed over the years. Not his fault, I'm not blaming him, but he hasn't been able to stand up to a full season of playing other than that one year, the 156, the 143, the rest are all 120s and 130s. So I think they overpaid for Dexter Fowler in years. I think he's a valuable guy if he's handled correctly. He was handled perfectly by the Chicago Cubs. He was loved by his teammates. They loved him back. But that is not the dynamic that's going on in St. Louis right now.
No, it really isn't, Bruce. And I tell you, when he signed there, I was like, that's not a good place for you.
Yeah.
It just the way that place is run, and I'm not a big fan of Mike Matheny and the way that he manages. And I just felt like some of the atmosphere issues, the idea of the Cardinals and the Cardinal way and the best fans in baseball and all that stuff, I didn't think that it was a really particularly good fit. But if they're offering you $80 million, then maybe you're willing to put up with it. I wonder if there's some regret on both sides of that deal now.
How many guys after 31 live up to 5 and 7 year contracts?
Not many, if any.
I know.
Other than
I know,
John Lester.
Know.
He's
been dynamite, but, you know, they're few and far between. Why don't they live up to 5 and 7 year contracts? I think you and I have talked about this before, because they're getting paid for what they did, not what they're able to do going forward, because their best years are behind them. Not only that, but the pressure, you know, on them to perform for 5 or 6 years, like we're watching Yu Darvish right now trying to perform for 5 or 6 years in, you know, 8 starts. You know, that pressure is too much for some people. Living up to $126 million, too much for some people. People said it was, for Hayward, it was too rough living up to $84 million or $184 million. You know, John Lester talked about the pressure he put on himself coming here, and look at how beautifully he's performed. They're few and far between. So I think in the case of Dexter Fowler, it was a case of giving a baseball athlete too many years for what his record indicated and not getting the same type of treatment that he got in Chicago in his time with St. Louis. They, you know, I think it's very underrated how well players are treated by the Epstein, Hoyer, and Joe Maddon regime. It's talked about, but I don't think you could ever overrate it. It's so essentially important to the success there.
I think that's a great point by Bruce. It's a really interesting point on those are things that get around. And clearly, the tradition of the Cardinals is great, and I can see how that would be a draw for people that want to be a part of that. But do they need to change? Are they reluctant to change because of the success that they have had in the past? Some people texted in with some of their thoughts. I think this one is a fairly good comp. 847 Texter says, Cardinals are becoming to baseball what Nebraska is to college football. I think that's a really good comp. A lot of national championships at Nebraska. It's a brand it's a strong brand. But do they need to change some of their brand? Which is why I wanted to open things up and talk to some Cardinals fans about it. 312-644-6767 out to Woodridge and Phil. Hey, Phil, you're on the Score.
Thanks for taking my call. You don't have to adjust your antenna to hear me. I'm here in Chicago, Cardinal fan, true and true, but I have been very disappointed over the last several years. I've always felt that the Dexter Fowler signing was kind of a bit of revenge for the Cubs signing not just Hayward, but Lackey. And I knew right away that the Cubs had struck gold because, as you know, there's a lot of times where players in Colorado kind of overperform a bit. And because of his advanced age, I did not feel that it was going to be a right fit to be a leadoff hitter. And I've been disappointed with the so-called Cardinal way because I think people have just kind of catered to Mike Matheny. He took over the reins for a Hall of Fame manager. And, you know, they figured just because he's a catcher, and like a lot of catchers who become managers are very much in tune with all of the surroundings of baseball, but he has not been able to handle things correctly. And the Cardinals have been very poor in signing. I felt Derek Holland was not a good fit for them. They had other choices. They could have signed Wade Davis and have him for a full spring and look at what he's doing now. I just feel that they need to just basically clean house. I believe John Mayberry was a hitting coach, I think.
Mabry,
I'm sorry. I should remember that. For the White Sox at one time. And he really wasn't that good to begin with, and they just not lived up to their potential over the last 4 years, especially some of the position players that have been there. You know, your Matt Carpenter and you know just various players that have underperformed and is going to cost them another shot at the playoffs again, because you have not just the Cubs but you have Milwaukee contending, and that's a pretty big hole to climb out of. They've been floundering. They've had injuries. And I'm not using the injury excuse because all teams get injuries. But like if you remember the Alan Reyes thing, he claimed that he was hurt in the very first start that he had and didn't say nothing. That right there is a lack of communication that seems to be seeping into the nature of the Cardinal organization.
I appreciate the phone call. It was great points by you. Bernie Miklas, who's an institution down in St. Louis, threw this out on Twitter today. Questions. If Fowler performed in Chicago the way he's performing in St. Louis in 18, after the Cards showed him more respect financially than the Cubs did, do you think Theo would be happy? If Theo didn't think a key player was working, would he stay silent? Here is my retort to that. Do you remember a couple years ago when they wanted to send Tommy La Stella to the minors? And Tommy La Stella was like, I'm not going to the minors. I'll quit baseball before I go to the minors. Did Jed or Theo or Madden take him out to the woodshed? No. You know what they did? They worked with him. They actually capitulated to him. And now Tommy La Stella is one of the most valuable guys off the bench in the National League. Bad boys move in silence. I understand people's wanting for the red meat. I want my GM to call out players. It's not always the best solution. Hi, Jim. You're on the score.
Yeah, I guess I can see your point. But here's my thing. There was a time, you know, when baseball on TV was free and the tickets didn't and the concessions didn't cost an arm and a leg. Everything nowadays is so much about big money. When a player is not performing and he's getting paid as much money as a Fowler or a Darvish or whoever. And the reason I ask this question, because the Reds general or the Cardinals general manager is catching some hell for calling out Fowler. And I've even heard the Cubs catch a little bit hell for the way that they're, you know, dealing with Darvish. And I've heard what some of the fans have had to say. So my question is this: when a player is earning so much money and not performing, whether it be by injury or whatever, does the media have a right to call him out or call the team out?
Well, the media is, that's a different animal. And I would object to what you're saying about the Cubs and Darvish. Last week, Theo Epstein was on these airwaves talking about how Darvish is a human being and that's how we're treating him. Even with the salary, There's no yelling coming from the higher-ups over at the Cubs on this. I think that Joe Madden has been a little like kind of walking the line. But when it comes to Jed and Theo, they have been above board with their thoughts on you, Darvish. But I do appreciate you checking in, Jim. Thanks for it. And if you're a Cardinal fan, you want to text in 670-11, we can do that too. This conversation is going to continue. The next segment, though, we got a guest coming in, and I'm excited. Adam Amin, who is a voice that you're going to be hearing on Bears games in August, is going to join me. It's going to be fun to talk with him next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.